Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 204 on the Dave Glover Show. Dave out for the week. Be back on Monday. Rachel Zimmerman, Andrew Stolz, Kevin Wheeler hanging out with you, taking you through the top of the, top of the hour. No, we're going to take you through the end of the show. We can't stop at the top of the hour,
yeah,
even though we want
to. Gotta go till
I will
five.
Say, though, tomorrow at this time, we'll be done.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Tomorrow's going to be a short and sweet show. I'm very excited.
Tomorrow we will just have the 1 o'clock hour because the Cardinals play at 3:10, which means pregame starts at 2:15, and that means no time to do anything for us. Once that game gets going on the pregame at 2:15. So 1 hour tomorrow, but full show today. And we're going to be busy. We've got Dave Murray joining us in his normal spot at 3:30. Matt Pauley is going to jump in and sit in with us for a little bit starting at 4 o'clock. And right now we got our buddy Brad Young, attorney, politico. Anything else we should add, Brad, all-around man of the world?
Nerd and computer nerd. Yes.
All right, we'll add that too. I'm a nerd too, just a different sort. I've had this thing, Brad. Before we get into our stories, I've had this thing forever. I think every single human being on Earth is a nerd. It's just a matter of what they're a nerd about.
You know, there's a lot of truth to that, but only certain nerds have tape on their glasses, and that defines me.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, I'll let you have that victory.
Okay. Oh, thanks. Wow. Appreciate it, pal.
Okay, I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but as soon as you mentioned glasses, Brad, was there anything worse than in like the thick of the pandemic, you're wearing a mask everywhere, when you're wearing your glasses and you walk inside and they just completely fog up and it's like, well, right. I have to like take off my mask in order to wipe my glasses. It was just the biggest pain in the rear end.
Well, it was, and basically, when you took off your mask to clean your glasses, aren't you defeating the entire reason you were wearing glasses to begin with?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't see. All right, we got a couple of interesting things, Brad, to get to. I know that you had mentioned that we should, and I think we should, too. We didn't touch this yesterday because I wanted someone with your background to be able to kind of both. By the way, you get to wear both hats in this topic, both the political hat and the lawyer's hat. Let's start with the lawyer's hat on the Texas story. So all of the Democrats have fled the state of Texas, the state representatives, state senators, not the federal, but because they're trying to do a redistricting vote. And they've if they're not there, then the movement can't go forward. They don't have enough the votes to you know, not enough votes, but enough people. What, they don't have a quorum, whatever it
quorum.
Is. Yeah, I used a big word. And they have left for Chicago, and there have been threats about arresting them and bringing them back. From a legal standpoint, just lay out what you think about that story.
Well, we need to make a big differentiation, and I'm not seeing any of this in how this story is being reported nationally. But even though there are warrants issued for their arrest, these are civil warrants.
Right.
These are not criminal warrants.
Right.
And that's a big distinction, because when you violate a criminal warrant, you go to jail.
Right.
And when you violate a civil warrant, there is no jail time. No laws have been broken, but you can be fined for your failure to appear before Congress and do what they're they're required to do. So that needs to be made clear.
That's a really important difference. Yeah, that's a really important difference.
It is. You know, I heard somebody say, "Oh, we should send Chuck Norris to Illinois and retrieve these guys and throw them, lock them up." You know, there is no criminal charges here. It's a civil warrant, and that's a big distinction.
So, is the only potential outcome, like negative outcome for those Democrats, is that only a fine, or can they be brought back, physically brought back, but not thrown in jail, just brought back?
No, they can't be brought back physically because outside of Texas, the sheriff's department wouldn't have jurisdiction to do that.
Okay.
All right. And there is no reciprocity between states when it comes to civil warrants, only criminal warrants. Right. So that's really out of the question.
There you go.
Now, I will tell you this, though. Ken Paxton, who's the attorney general of Texas, has floated an idea, written a legal memorandum stating that it would be legal to basically state that these legislators have abandoned their office and to schedule a new election to replace them because of their abandonment of office. Now, I researched this a little bit today. I don't see any case law on this, and I don't see that there would be a lot of judicial backup when it comes to doing that. But clearly, these individuals can be fined. That was upheld by the Supreme Court actually several years ago.
Okay.
They can be fined. And also, they can't pay these fines out of their campaign funds.
All right.
This has to be personal money when they're fined. And that's a distinction, again, that I'm not seeing a lot in the national reporting of the story.
Awesome. All right. So now put on your political hat on this one. What do you make of the way this goes down, like the way it's going down in Texas, and whether or not what they're doing will actually change the outcome in the end?
Well, there's two angles to this, Wheels. First of all, the political side when it comes strictly to Texas. Will this change anything? Not at all. This has happened before, and there are some parliamentary procedures that have to be followed in Texas in order to get another vote. And eventually, the majority in Congress in Texas will get what they want. Secondly, there's actually three angles to this. Secondly, the second angle here is if Texas redistricts, will that be upheld by the courts? And they're stating that this is a political redistricting, not a along racial lines. But courts have held, both under the 14th Amendment and the Voting Rights Act, that if you redistrict based upon racial concerns, that invalidates the 14th Amendment, or rather, it's invalidated by the 14th Amendment and is not legal. Thirdly, what's happening in Texas isn't unique to Republicans. Right now, California is doing pretty much the exact same thing. If you look at a map of Illinois, the congressional districting, the Illinois Democrats essentially wiped out a Republican office by creating this absurd political district that runs from basically Belleville up to almost Chicago, but it's a narrow strip, and it's done in a way to make sure that a Republican didn't get elected in that particular district. So redistricting isn't a Republican idea. It's not a Democrat idea. Both parties do it. And now we've seen in California and New York, they're vowing to redistrict even more in order to deny seats for Republicans to make up for what's happening in Texas. So this is a pox on all your houses.
Brad, since you have the political hat on right now, and since you just said this isn't really going to make a difference, these Democrats fleeing the state, do you think that any of these Democrats, whether individually or as a group, risk alienating their constituents? Because it's like, guys, you're taking off. All you're doing really at this point is seems like you're just wasting people's time and wasting money. Like, is that a concern for any of these politicians?
Well, politically, and you've touched on an enormous question there, Rachel, and that's this. How do Democrats respond to Trump in particular and to MAGA Republicans in general? How do they respond right now? And we're seeing Cory Booker stating, you know, he was yelling and screaming on the congressional floor and basically calling out Democrats that weren't also yelling and screaming. And what the Democrats in Texas are doing right now is, in essence, yelling and screaming with their feet. You know, they're using their exodus from Texas as a way of being more combatant, even if it doesn't change anything at the end of the day. And so the Democrat Party has to really decide, how are they going to respond? And if they respond really to try to match Trump tone for tone and act for act, I think the Democrats risk alienating the entire middle populace of the electorate, which is really who elects politicians in this country, mm-hmm. not the extremes.
Interesting. The whole thing's crazy. I still am super disappointed in us as a nation that we do this, gerrymandering nonsense. We should be doing this based on math. We shouldn't be doing this based on who wants what thing for themselves, which party's in power, getting more of their power. And as you point out, depending on the state, it's going to be doing that one way or the other, right? I mean, if it's a red state, it's going to be doing it for the red side. If it's the blue state, it's going to do it for the blue side. I really wish we were more logical. I really wish this was just based on math. And that's
yes.
It.
Yeah, but what you're seeing is gerrymandering is really just a symptom of having one party having a supermajority any state, right? Yeah. Again, blue, red, doesn't matter. Whoever has the supermajority does this kind of mm-hmm. shenanigans. It started in the early 1800s by Elbridge Gerry, who was the governor of Massachusetts. He was a founding father. That's why they started calling it gerrymandering, because it looked like a salamander, and they named it after him.
Right.
You know, so creating words like benefer isn't a new thing, you know, for us, but it was done in the 1800s.
Yeah.
But my point is like you said, I wish we could do this logically. And the only way to do that would be for Congress to do something nationally,
right,
to really own this. And they're never going to do that.
Nope.
Because at the end of the day, politicians never want to give up power.
Yeah.
And that's universal.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's shift to a local story. Got a lot of buzz. We didn't touch this yesterday, mostly because I wanted to wait to talk to you about it, Brad. But the MAGA hat guy, a guy named Michael Weitzel, was asked to leave the St. Louis City game match. Sorry, don't want to make the soccer people mad. The city match over the weekend because of his MAGA hat. Now, it didn't happen at the beginning. It kind of happened in the second half of the game with some time left. And now today on Twitter, Andrew Bailey has said he's reviewing this incident. I don't know what's going on in all of that. But again, legal hat first.
Okay.
Is there anything wrong with this from a legal standpoint? Are we talking about rights being violated? Are we just talking about potentially alienating a customer or really a segment of customers by taking this kind of action?
Yeah, let's look at it legally and then politically. But legally, this is private property. You know, you could set up any type of activity that you want and say Republicans only, Democrats only. There's nothing that violates the law when it comes to that. This is private property. They did what they did, and it was legal to have them do that. Now, the bigger question, I think, is from a perception of fairness, even not even politically, but from a perception of fairness, I think this issue has a lot of problems because here's a guy who wasn't making a scene until he was starting to get harassed. He was wearing a MAGA hat, not a big deal. And also he was sitting near a section where they were flying pride flags.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at it from a fairness standpoint, the guy who is wearing a MAGA hat, who isn't doing anything but sitting there enjoying the game, he gets thrown out. And then you got people literally waving pride flags, which is very political, and nothing is done with them. Now, I know they were approved. He wasn't. That gets to really, should these MLS or any stadiums be approving any political demonstrations of any kind? I don't think they should. Let's just enjoy the game, for goodness sakes. But if someone isn't making a scene, personally, I don't think they should be thrown out. I don't care what kind of hat they're wearing. I literally don't care. I'm watching the game, whatever the game might be. But it does have an appearance of impropriety when the MAGA hat guy gets thrown out and the pride flag people get to stay.
Yeah, I thought it was a mistake just from, I mean, because again, as you point out, there's no legal issue here. I mean, it's a private thing. You can tell people to leave. That's perfectly fine. But the your number one, it's unnecessary negative PR. Right. If you're just purely looking at it from a public relations standpoint, there would have been no harm in just not doing anything about it in that moment,
right,
because they did get a complaint. They noted they got a complaint from somebody in the stands. But should one complaint, unless the person's being belligerent, which is totally different, that's behavior,
yes,
and not clothing.
Exactly.
And we're not talking about foul language. We're not talking about anything violent or threatening that was on clothing, because those things are banned in a lot of ballparks. In fact, a lot of sporting events, they will just make you leave or cover it up if you're doing things that are maybe offensive or there's a curse word on there or something. So you, not only do you have that just unnecessary, this is a national story. This is a national story because you chose to do this when you didn't have to do it. And then the second part of that really is also, are you harming your own business? Are there now people, yes, that are like this guy that are like, well, if I'm not welcome there because of this, then I'm not going and I'm not following anymore. And again, that's up to the team. They deal with both of those things. But just looking at those perspectives, it just seems like a massive mistake.
And you look at this particular individual, Michael Weitzel. He's a season ticket holder for City SC. And I don't know that he's going to renew his tickets. I don't know that he's going to be back. I don't know that people who follow him on social media are going to go to soccer games. So it is a problem from a PR perspective. And as you said, Wheels, completely unnecessary.
I guess I don't see pride flags as political. Maybe they've been politicized, but you could be Republican and be gay and fly the pride flag. Like, I don't know. I guess I don't see those two things as like an apples to apples comparison.
Well, see, I do, and let me tell you why. The whole idea of the pride flags is to assert rights for homosexuals, to assert certain benefits or privileges for homosexuals. A lot of homosexuals are stating that they're not treated fairly, that they're discriminated against. So the waving of the flag isn't just an acknowledgement of my sexual identity or a person's sexual identity, but the waving of the flag is saying, I'm asserting this politically. So it is a political statement. If you had a shirt made out of a pride flag and wore it to school, the schools who would probably be favorably inclined to do nothing because of an agreement, but still that would be deemed a political statement. And so I do see it as political.
Brad, Attorney General Andrew Bailey posted on Twitter that he's reviewing this story, you know, based on the fact that you said this is all perfectly legal. Is this just him grandstanding for a second?
Oh, I don't know that I would use the term grandstanding. I would use the term that he has to acknowledge that they're reviewing it simply to say, I'm not ignoring it. But there's not going to be anything that would come from this. I can't even envision a legal theory here that would pass muster in any court that could be taken against the owners of the stadium.
Brad, we appreciate the insight. Thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, guys. Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in. The debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts. Baby, there was
something missing. All right, DGS on a Tuesday, Dave back on Monday, Rachel, Andrew, and Kevin hanging out. Rach, we need to get an AI video of you singing this. Since you like this one, huh?
I'll sing it in the hospital and...
and have Andrew sing it behind you.
Yeah.
So you're an REO Speedwagon fan, huh?
I mean, I've always really liked this song.
Okay, so it's more this song than them. I got you.
Yeah,
I got
I'm just like, oh, it's got a good hook.
Let's talk some 90s TV.
Let's do. I have a list here of the 10 90s TV shows that changed the world.
Oh, boy.
Let's kind of go. We don't have
it's
much
pretty
time.
Big claim.
Yeah, it is a big claim. Let's go through the top five and see if we have time for all the top 10. So number one is The Simpsons. They're saying it reshaped comedy, animation, and pop culture as we know it.
Pretty hard to argue.
True. Number two is Friends, a global phenomenon that redefined the modern sitcom.
I mean, it belongs in the top 10. It's not number two.
Man, I loved Friends growing up, and now I don't know if I could sit down and watch a single episode.
I mean, I watched them all. Like, back then, you did. You watched all the primetime shows that were popular, and it was fine. It was entertaining and funny, but I mean, I don't know that it changed anything.
It's hard for me to watch any show with a laugh track these days.
Yeah.
I think maybe the one...
The style was different,
Yeah, the one real standout exclusion for that would maybe be like Seinfeld.
Yep.
But even like... Well,
even in my Frasier watching days, like I was just like, man, they're laughing a lot.
Yeah.
Ain't that funny?
Yeah, exactly. Number three is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
All right.
An elevated teen TV.
Already hate this list.
And proved genre could be emotionally profound. I never watched that much Buffy to really speak on this intelligently, so I'm going to skip Buffy.
Man.
Buffy rocks. Buffy's very good. Yeah. You would like it, Kevin.
No, I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. But it's good.
I mean, it's fine. Don't
you
get
don't like
wrong.
Lots of things
it
that are
good.
It was
a massive show, but it's not the third best one of the 90s.
I love Sarah Michelle Gellar. And I love that she and Freddie Prinze Jr. have such a great seeming relationship and have been married for such a long time. Just makes me happy. Number four is Seinfeld. Turned nothing into something and changed TV comedy forever.
That one's got to be no worse than two.
Yeah.
It's them and it's that and The Simpsons. Got to be one, two. One order or another is fine.
Well, just they're just as culturally significant today. You see just as many references to The Simpsons and Seinfeld as you ever have. Number five in the top five of 90s TV shows that changed the world is one of Andrew's favorites, The X-Files.
Yeah. That's a great show.
X-Files is so good.
I have a cute story.
I want to believe.
I want to believe, too. So I, maybe like 8 or 9 years ago, I was like, I want to get into the X-Files. And I told Andrew this.
So good.
And Andrew.
This is a little embarrassing.
Andrew was like, okay, but there's a lot of episodes. What I'll do is I'll make you a list of the must-see episodes, And then also some episodes that I think you should watch just because they're really good. And it was such an extensive, like, in-depth list. He did a really good job. I remember watching most of them and, you know, not feeling lost at all because it was, like I said, it was very exhaustive. He did a good job.
So there was a time where when we were on our old radio station, and Rachel did many of these too, where she and I would have, like, night shifts. Where one of us would just have to stay until like midnight, and there wasn't often a lot to do. So she happened to ask that on a night when I did not have anything to do. So I spent like 2.5 hours making this list.
Combing through the X-Files Wikipedia.
Combing through the episode guide and going like, yes, this one is a classic. This has to be on there. Yeah. It's fun. I like doing stuff like that.
X-Files should be number 3 on that list, by the way. Great show.
The DGS list is The Simpsons, Seinfeld, and The X-Files.
Sure thing. And you can go in any order. I'll be happy. All right, 2:35 on the Dave Glover Show. Dave will be back on Mondays on vacation. Rachel, Andrew, Kevin hanging out with you here. We've got Dave Murray at 3:30. We've got Matt Pauly at 4 o'clock. And if you missed Ricky Horton in the first hour, or you missed Brad Young at the top of this hour, you can always rewind if you're on the Odyssey app listening to us. You go back and find that and do it. But do that after the show. Don't do that now. Stay with us for now live. And then you can also podcast those everywhere that podcasts are podcasted.
Mm-hmm.
So feel free to do that. And if you miss out on anything, you don't have to. You know, maybe miss it in real time, but you don't have to miss it out later. Very simple. We always got you covered. Not just on the DGS, but on KMOX in general.
Absolutely.
All right, let's do some Razor's Edge.
All right. First of all, I want to acknowledge I am torturing Kevin today with Rick Springfield.
All the 80s stuff that I was always like, turn it off. No, it's fine.
One more thing about the...
You do a good job with the music, right?
Thanks, Wheels. One more thing about the Odyssey app to keep in mind. This is something I bring up a lot when I talk about it on my show. The Odyssey app has such a huge library of stuff that doesn't even play on KMOX. So it's the kind of thing where if you're just looking for a random podcast, just check out the library on the Odyssey app. We've got a bunch of stuff.
It's good sports stuff, too.
So we already talked about AI ridiculousness today, but I'm going to bring it up again because this is a pretty good story. So Jim Acosta from CNN, we all know him. Mm-hmm. He is under fire right now because he just did an interview with an AI version of a teenager who was killed in the Parkland shooting.
What?
Yes.
What?
He did an interview with the recreated version of this young man on what would have been his 25th birthday. Joaquin Oliver died at age 17 in the Parkland school shooting in 2018, one of 17 people who was killed. So he has him on the show, has this AI version of Joaquin Oliver on the show, and he asked him about his solutions for gun violence. He asked him about his personal life. They discuss the movie Remember the Titans. They discuss Star Wars. Now, keep in mind, this is not a real conversation. This is a fake conversation with a fake idea of who this young man was and would be. And for some reason, Jim Acosta, and I guess this young man's parents consented to this, they all thought this would be some kind of a good idea. And people are rightfully pretty upset and freaked out that this is something that would air on anything disguising itself as a news program.
Yeah.
It's super weird.
It's extremely weird.
It's not only weird, it's actually kind of sick. I don't know for sure. Now, he posted on Blue Sky that the father of Joaquin Oliver approached him about doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very least, okay, you had the blessing of the family, which takes you off the hook for being that kind of creep.
Right. At least he did it with their consent.
Right. He didn't just do it, which would be a whole another level of creep. But if you think of yourself as a journalist, and that's what Jim Acosta presents himself as, that's what he worked as for a long time in the regular journalism world, and now... he's doing just podcasts and his Substack and things like that. How do you maintain credibility, journalistic integrity, interviewing an algorithm?
Such a good question.
And also
how
doing
you do
this for, I mean, like, again, it's one thing if they approached you, you would pull. I mean, if somebody approached me to do something like that, I would politely decline and simply say, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I can't interview. Again, what is an algorithm? It is not the kid. It is not the kid's consciousness. It's a horrible tragedy. And it feels like even if the parents are okay with it and maybe sought it out, you are absolutely capitalizing and trying to get views based on that family's tragedy.
Yeah, I'm with you, Wheels. I don't really want to comment on the parents doing this project.
No, that's
in the first
totally
place.
Personal.
Yeah,
up to them.
I mean, I can't claim to understand the grief they've gone through, so I'm just not even going to touch it. What I can comment on is the fact that Jim Acosta said, what's amazing about this is that we've heard from the parents, we've heard from the politicians, now we're hearing from one of the kids. That hasn't happened. Well, we're not hearing from one of the kids. You're not speaking to one of the
no.
kids. The kid is incapable of speaking to you because he is gone.
And so if
this is a computer program.
Well, right, but it's also, and yes, it's not like the consciousness of a human being was downloaded.
Correct.
And you're getting the actual thoughts on these things. You're getting someone's approximation of what might have been said. Who fed the information into the algorithm that would say this is how this human being would have answered that question? I mean, and also just the concept of asking someone about their death mm-hmm. is weird. Now, I mean, if you're doing a seance, if you're doing it something along those, that's a different thing. All of that comes into what you believe and what you don't believe. That's a different animal entirely. But we know that this is not that person. We know this is not Joaquin Oliver. And someone had to put into the algorithm some kinds of biases, some kinds of beliefs. I'm guessing that was the parents' role. But you'd still be guessing at it, even no matter how well you know your child. I have a child. I know my child really well. I don't think I could tell you everything that's going on in her head and how she would process things and how she views everything out there in the world. It's a very bizarre thing to do for a news person.
And it puts so much trust in this technology, and it comes with this assumption that you're getting something right. When, as you just said, Wheels, we have no way of knowing if it's getting it right. We can't check with this young man. We can't fact check this at all. We can just go, oh, yeah, I mean, that might have been what he said. So let's not treat it as if it's something that's legitimate or it's something that's actually being said from an actual gun violence victim. There are people out there you can talk to who have survived school shootings,
yeah,
who I think
would
be
absolutely.
Happy to have a conversation like this. But to fabricate something like this, it's weird on many, many levels. It almost feels like the more we explain why it's weird, the more we're like talking in circles. Because it's
weird,
like, well, yeah,
yeah.
It just feels crazy in the first place.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's almost, it's strange that you would even have to explain why this is wildly inappropriate, I think, to do.
Yeah, again, if this were simply a tool put together by his parents to make a point, because I think that was the idea, right? That the parents created this AI version of their son so that they could send a message about gun violence. If you wanted to, you're the family members, you have that right, you have the control, you have the ability to do that. That's up to you. And if you think that's the best way to convey a message to maybe drive it home to people, okay. But again, as a journalist, you should not be participating in something like this. I don't now trust your journalistic instincts. I wouldn't go as far as integrity because it's not so much about a lie or anything like that. But it makes me question your seriousness and your motivations.
So, Wheels, thought experiment here. Let's say Matt's out tonight. You're filling in and hosting Sports Open Line. I'm producing the show for you. And I said, guess what, Wheels? We got AI Babe Ruth.
Boy.
You want to do the interview?
No, I might because it's just entertainment, mm-hmm. right? It's not a serious thing. It's silly, but I wouldn't like it. I'd be annoyed by it.
Because nothing that AI Babe Ruth
no,
said
it's not
is
AI
actually
Babe Ruth,
factual.
Right. It's not Babe Ruth's consciousness. Again, if we get to the point technologically where you'll see this in sci-fi shows and movies where a consciousness can be downloaded and you can now tap into that and ask it questions, that would be a whole different thing. But this is not that. This isn't even close to that. This isn't even true AI. Mm-hmm. It's just machine learning.
Do you think that we can that we ever will actually be able to download consciousness? Because I don't think that's something that's going to happen.
I have no idea because I don't know how that works.
I don't know how it happens either. I mean, if you believe humans have souls, we've never been able to grasp where that soul is.
Well, those could be separate things.
Perhaps.
Soul and a consciousness could be separate things as a part of the human experience. But I mean, as an example, we know that we can implant things into a brain that can allow you to do things where you can move things with your brain without ever using your physical body, using a chip planted into your head. So we know that we can interface with technology. Just don't know that we know how yet. I mean, we clearly don't, or if we do, somebody knows it and nobody else does, right? So we haven't gotten to that point where we could say, okay, well, now we know how to take all of these signals that are registered in your brain and transfer them electronically to a storage device. Like that, to my knowledge, we don't know. But we do know that we can interface with technology in our brain. We know that it's been done. And maybe down the road, that is a thing, but it certainly isn't now. Mm-hmm. And even that might be a little odd from a journalistic standpoint as opposed to a personal standpoint, you know, like interviewing. I don't know. This is just bad.
Yeah, I was pretty flabbergasted whenever I saw that story this morning.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in. The debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts. It's girl. Are you gonna
drop the bomb or not? All right, this one's actually killing me, Rich.
I love this song.
This song is awesome.
Yeah, sure it is.
Alphaville, come on now. This song rocks.
Yeah, really, really kicks ass. This one's an ass kicker.
Yeah, if you have feelings, it is an ass kicker.
Yes. You feel like you feel nothing listening to this.
You don't want to be forever young? Are you crazy?
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool.
Is this not a song you've ever heard before? This is a huge song from, like, your 20s.
I know, and I hated it back then, too, and it was probably before my 20s. That's an 80s song for sure.
Were you not in your 20s in the
80s? No. I was in high school in the late 80s.
Oh, okay.
I graduated high school in 1990.
Oops.
Yeah. It's not, you're not that far off. You're only like 2 years off. I turned 20 in 1991, so it's not that crazy. Yeah. So, no.
I just found a thread. How do you feel when you listen to Forever Young by Alphaville?
Did you really?
Yes. And the top comment, which is what I would say if someone asked me that question, is it always makes me think of Napoleon Dynamite, because mm-hmm. that is the song that Napoleon and Deb danced to at the school mm-hmm. dance.
And that's how I picture it.
It was like also this, in a great episode of Sunny.
I picture it in this ridiculous movie. And it's, and it, I don't know, it just has a weird vibe to it to me.
So this actually kind of makes me think of something about how that's by a group, person, impossible to know, called Alphaville. We don't have that as much anymore, it feels like, right? It feels like we don't, without, with the loss of, like, the radio being the primary place to listen to things, and the advent of, like, streaming, and, like, the only way to discover new music being, like, in 10-second clips on TikTok. Feels like we don't have one-hit wonders anymore. Like the classic, just some random group that comes out of nowhere and they have one song that's the third biggest song in the world for 2 months and then they disappear forever. And then 20 years later, they play it on the radio and somebody goes, oh yeah, remember this stuff? Feels like we don't have that anymore.
Alphaville is a German synth pop band mm-hmm. formed in Munster in 1982.
Delicious.
Yeah, the Germans known for their emotion. They're more like me.
Kevin was not listening at all to my whole big giant spiel. Yeah. He heard. No, I was looking at him.
You said TikTok, and he just got on TikTok. Well,
yeah, I'm looking at him, and he's typing on his computer, and I'm like, he got.
I'm trying to figure out if that was an original song or if it was a cover, but
yeah,
I guess
it's an
it was
original song.
Yeah, I think there are plenty of one hit wonders now, Andrew. But it's done differently. Like they didn't blow up as big because there's just so much for them to compete with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like back then, if your song hit, it hit and it was on the radio right. and it was there. And now, you know, you could be a song that's like that caliber and it will hit with a certain group of people, but then get washed over by a million other songs yeah. on iTunes or on Spotify.
The thing
or
is
whatever.
That now it's just that now those songs will be like a TikTok trend.
Yeah. Yeah.
For no. 3 months instead of like being played on the radio and in TV shows and movies and stuff. It'll just be like a weird trend.
Well, even the TikTok trend, I keep seeing people make content about the fact that we don't really have like a sound or a song of the summer for 2025. Usually there's yeah. something you can point to and be like
a
all
vibe
right,
for that.
Yeah, like this is the big cultural phenomenon of
and
the
summer. And
there
isn't one now?
I mean, I'm struggling to think of like, oh, it's definitely this artist. Like
the summer of whatever.
Yeah.
What was last summer?
Last summer was Charlie XCX, okay. Brat Summer. Do you okay. remember that? Everything mm-hmm. was like lime
I remember
green.
Hearing Brat stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember the
stuff
itself.
So we had Brat, and then we had like Hot Girl Summer, and we
when
had...
When was that? Was that 23?
That might have been 22.
Okay.
23, I don't remember.
Okay.
Anyway, when's Forever Young, I love that song.
When's the last time they had Angry Dude Summer?
I mean, I kind of think every
that
summer probably, gets to be Angry Dude
no,
Summer.
Say, that was probably like Woodstock 99.
Every time there's angry dude every summer. Time there's been a drunk guy on his lawn when a wife beater yelling and... spiking beer cans on the ground. It's been Angry Guy Summer.
What would the theme song for that be?
For Angry
Forever
Guy
Young.
Summer? No, it'd be like... maybe like a... what's Fred Durst?
Oh, Limp Break Biscuit. Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's just one of those days. Yeah, yeah. I know that song very well, and that one is a rocker.
Hey, I have a ruling for you guys if you're interested. It's a ruling about soup.
Oh, I got hot takes about soup.
And it's taking the internet by a storm. You know, maybe instead of a song of the summer, we have a soup of the summer. I don't know.
Soup and summer shouldn't go together.
Well, basically, this man doesn't like ginger, and his mother-in-law always puts ginger in this potato soup that she makes, which I like ginger. I don't know if I would enjoy it in a potato soup, but that's neither here nor there.
Maybe a sweet potato soup.
So he went over to his mother-in-law's house, and he's like, hey, you made the soup. Did you put the ginger in there? And she's like, oh, sweetie, yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I apologize. I should have left it on the side, but it's in the soup. He goes, oh, no worries. Goes and gets a colander, pours the soup into that, and just strains out all of the ginger pieces and picks them out. His wife, girlfriend, says, that was extremely rude. You disrespected my mother. What do you guys think?
Oh, it was mother-in-law?
It was mother-in-law.
Oh, just don't eat the soup, bro. Don't do that. Don't be like, here, I'm going to fix it for you.
Well, there's something about adding the tool of the colander that does feel a little disrespectful. Like, if you were just picking the ginger out of the soup, it's like, yeah, he doesn't like ginger, but he got a device involved. He had a whole process
just eat something
of eliminating the ingredient.
Right?
Yeah, but
I mean, it's okay if it's a healthy relationship with everybody involved and everybody likes each other. And hey, that's not my thing, but it's okay. I'll eat a sandwich. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You should not alter your recipe for me. You should make it the way that you want to. Believe me, I've lived this stuff. There are times when that happens, and it's okay. It's all good.
I'm just picturing like the son-in-law being like, oh, no, I won't take the soup, but you can make me a sandwich.
Oh, no, you make your own. That's the thing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Could you do that? Oh, my God.
I don't want to be rude. Could you just whip
together a brisket sandwich for me, maybe? I can deal with that.
Brian M's on the stream says, can't blame the guy. I hate ginger.
I
said, I'm fine with ginger. I don't know if I would like it in a baked potato soup.
It's fine in certain things. But yeah, it's I don't know, maybe I just never had this soup, because I would try it. I don't hate ginger, but I would try it. But it's not what I think of potato soup. I think of like cheese and
bacon,
creamy
bits.
And bacon, all that stuff. Oh man,
load that up.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, just like a baked potato with water in it.
Yes. And that is, sometimes when I'm eating at a restaurant,
wet tater.
One of the only times I'll just like financially throw caution to the wind is when it's like, would you like to dress up your potato for $3.50? I'm like, yes, do it. Money is no object.
I have not fallen for my potato. Anytime you take something and ask me if I want to dress it up, the number just like wobbles and fades out of existence. Like, I don't even see it. Premium sides, only $9 more. Yes, please.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.